And good morning, church. Good morning to each and every one of you. Welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And today, the theme of our service, this Baptism Sunday, we're talking about, is there hope for a bad start? And that pre-service hymn is a wonderful reminder of the power of the gospel and the uniqueness of the gospel, that Jesus can make something beautiful out of our lives. And that is why we are here today. Regardless of what we've been through, the struggles, the suffering, our challenges, our failures, our mistakes, Jesus is able to make something beautiful out of our lives. Goes on to say, we really didn't have much to offer him. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But yet still, he made something beautiful out of my life. Today, as I mentioned, is going to be a wonderful day as we celebrate the baptism of our dear Anna O'Callaghan. And she is going to be baptized today in the name of the Lord. And as we follow the great teaching of Scripture, as Jesus commanded his disciples to go into all the world and to proclaim and to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to follow in that same vein this morning. Another very important part of our service is not just for us who remain in this sanctuary, but all over the building, there is ministry taking place. And for our children and young people, they're very much a part of our service. And although they do not remain in this sanctuary, as they go to their groups, we're still one church. One church with many different generations. And today they're going to be learning more about the Lord. But to that end, as we welcome you all and welcome our children and young people, I'm going to ask at the start of the service now, is there any children and young people celebrating a birthday in and around this week? Any of our children and young people present celebrating a birthday? Is there one? Is there but one? No? It only works with Bev. No matter what I do, middle part of the service, start of the service, it never works for me, but it's all good, it's all good. Well, I want to draw your attention to our call to worship scripture this morning, Psalm 63, verse 1-4, as we focus our attention on the Lord now, as we're invited to come and to worship him, to come as we are into his presence, and he welcomes us with open and loving arms. And the psalmist puts it this way: you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Amen. Beautiful words from the psalmist, that he longed to seek the Lord with his whole heart, his whole soul. He thirsts for the Lord. As the deer pants for the water brook, so does our souls long after him. And as we are invited this morning to worship him, let us come now with our hearts, our minds, everything that we have. Let us come now to honor and to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you bid us come. You welcome us. You invite us into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you call us. You call us to come because you love us. And Lord, regardless of the state of our week, whether it's been a really good week or a really challenging week, thank you that you're still calling each and every one of us to bask in your glory, to bask in your Shekinah presence. And we pray now that as we come to worship you, just like the psalmist, as we thirst for the living God, we pray now that you would fill our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would inspire us, that yes, Lord, you would speak to us today. And when it's all said and done, we pray that your name will be glorified, that Jesus will be lifted on high, and that all will see and know that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. So bless us, we pray now, as we come to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to come now to a time of song worship, and the first song we're going to sing is I Lift My Hands to the Coming King, followed by Praise is Rising. And we're going to flow into four songs back to back. And if you want to stand throughout, that's fine. If you want to sit through some of them, then please do take your liberty. Let's come and worship him now. I lift my hands to the coming King.
Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
What's that again?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. Let's just pause for a moment as we just ponder and reflect on the greatness of our God. Thank you, Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thine hands have provided. Great is thy Lord unto me. Great, great is thy faithfulness. Great thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, hands have provided. Great is
thy faithfulness,
Lord, unto me. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for always being there for us. We thank you that you are consistent. It says in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord and I change not. Thank you for your consistency in our lives. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can depend on you. All other ground is sinking sand, but Lord, you are a firm foundation. And you will never fail us. And for that we say thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So come now and have your way. Lead and guide us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to, in the presence of the Lord, now invite our children and young people to leave for their groups as they go now to learn more about the Lord Jesus. We've had the birthday box. We've done it, yeah. Amen. Have a great time in your groups. Oh, hold on. We have someone. Come on up. We got time for you. Come on up. Hey, come. What's your name?
Terasimi.
Terasimi. Okay. And how old are you?
5.
Wow, big 5. Do you know what? Yeah, I was 5 once. Yeah. Way back before you were born. But happy birthday to you. Would you like to have a gift? Does that sound good? Well, have a look. You can choose whatever you like. Whatever you like. You want that one? Yeah. I like that. Very decisive. Not like my Anna. Yeah, it's good. Well done. We're going to sing happy birthday to you. As we come now to a time of prayer, we never take it lightly, this moment in the service, when we come before the throne of grace and we petition heaven for the various needs that are on our hearts, for the concerns and needs around our nation and around the world. And we know that we're living in very challenging times. There's a lot going on, but we are encouraged through the Bible that we can take everything to God in prayer. And that is the confidence that we have as believers, that we don't have to worry, but we can cast all of our cares on Him. Let's pray. Father, first and foremost, what a privilege it is that we can come before You, the great I Am, the one who created this entire world, the heavens and the earth. And that gives us great confidence concerning our trials, our challenges, the issues that we face in our lives, the problems that we see all around this world. That, Father, we can come to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, is there anything too hard for You? No, there is not. There is nothing too hard for our God. So, Father, we come before You now boldly. And we ask, Lord, that the burdens in our hearts, those burdens that perhaps have not even left our lips, we have not mentioned it to anyone. I pray now that in the silence, that we would just release those burdens to You. Father, we say thank You as You hear each and every one of our prayers now from our hearts, that we do not have to come in with our problems and leave with our problems, but we can leave them now at Your feet. And Lord, as we look wider afield to our nation and to this world in which You have created, Father, we see that there is so much despair all around us. We think, Lord, of recent events taking place in the United States of America. Lord, we pray for the family of that young man who was beaten to death by those who were sworn to protect and to serve. We pray that, Lord, that You would just surround the family, all those affected now, by Your love and by Your keeping care. Father, we pray even in our country that yesterday a young girl was killed by another young boy. Lord, we pray that You would be with the families now as they're trying to make sense of what has happened. We pray that You would minister to them Your grace. Oh Lord, be with them now. We do pray for those in our number who are sick and are not able to be with us this morning in person. We pray, Lord, that You would just minister to them. Thank You that Your presence is everywhere. And we pray, Lord, that You would meet their needs now. and that you would touch their lives. We continue to lift the family of Eddie. We pray for Andrew. Would you be with him, Lord? Encourage him. For Heidi and for Hannah and the extended family. We pray you'll continue, Lord, to just walk with them through this season as they come to terms with the loss of Eddie. Lord, we pray for the family of Joe Whitehead, as shortly his funeral will take place. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage them. Would you bless them, Father? As they make, Lord, the final preparations, we pray that they would know your peace that surpasses all understanding. So, Father, we say thank you for hearing our prayers. And, Lord, again, we're reminded of that great hope that there is nothing too hard for you. So help us to trust you, to lean not to our own understanding, but in all thy ways, help us to acknowledge you, for you promised to direct our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are going to return to song once more before we go into the word of God. As the deer pants for the water brooks. Your seats in the presence of the Lord, and my thanks to the worship team for leading us beautifully in praise and worship. Well, friends, we have now reached the final sermon of the first series of 2023, and we've been talking about a life reboot, a spiritual life reboot. And today I'm asking the question, on the final week of the year, or so and a bit, is there hope for a bad start? Is there hope for a bad start? Nathan, I've heard over the past several weeks about starting off right this year, spiritually, relationally, but what do I do if I've got off to a bad start? What do I do if so far this year things have not gone the way that I expected them to go? Is there hope for a bad start? I want to call your attention to Ezekiel chapter 36, and then we're going to read from chapter 37 as well. Ezekiel 36, and I'm going to read from Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase today. Chapter 36, from verse number 33. It reads like this: Message of God, the Master, on the day I scrub you clean from all your filthy living, I'll also make your cities livable. The ruins will be rebuilt. The neglected land will be worked again, no longer overgrown with weeds and thistles, worthless in the eyes of passers-by. People will exclaim, why this weed patch has been turned into a garden of Eden and the ruined city smashed into oblivion. They're now thriving. The nations around you that are still in existence will realize that I, God, rebuild ruins and replant empty waste places. I, God, said so, and I'll do it. Message of God, the Master, yet again, I'm going to do what Israel asks. I'll increase their population as with a flock of sheep, like the milling flocks of sheep brought for sacrifices in Jerusalem during the appointed feast. The ruined cities will be filled with flocks of people, and they'll realize that I am God. In chapter 37, just going to read three verses here. It's a familiar passage of the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And it says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and sat me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around among them. A lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached with the sun. And here comes the question. He said to me, God speaking to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel, can these bones live? In other words, is there hope for these dry bones, Ezekiel? And look at the answer. I said, Master God, only you know that. Only you know that. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for your holy word.
Thank you that your word is still relevant for us today. Your word is life-changing and powerful. And we pray now that you would minister to each and every one of us here this morning. Would you encourage? Would you uplift? Lord, would you just challenge us through your word? And we pray, Lord, as we leave this place, we would leave knowing more of thee. Bless me now as your servant. Give me strength to proclaim your word as I make known the mystery of your good news. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, by way of introduction, I'm going to show you now just a very short video clip as a form of introduction to the message today.
Thank you.
Amen. Church, the video clip that we've just watched this morning is a story and an illustration that transcends the sport of swimming. Because in the space of a 1 minute and 34 second video clip, I believe each and every one of us here today can relate to the experience of Miguel Duran. Miguel, who with great anticipation and excitement was scheduled to compete in the 2016 Olympic Games, representing his homeland of Spain. Miguel, who in preparation for the Olympics would undergo a rigorous and a very strenuous training conditioning program. Miguel, who would count down the years, the months, and the days to finally get the opportunity to represent his country on the grandest of stages there at the Olympic Games there in Brazil. And church, after all of the hard work that swimmers put in to qualify for the Olympic Games, on the day where it mattered the most, Miguel, unfortunately, he got off to a bad start. In Olympic terms, he made a false start. And as a result, as you saw in the video, he was disqualified from the race. And you saw the tears from Miguel. You saw the frustration, you saw the emotion and the pain on his face. He got off to a bad start. And in a similar fashion, all of us here today, this morning, can testify that there were times in our lives where we made a false start. There were times in our lives where, as the phrase puts it, we did not start on a good footing. There were times in our lives where the start was not as successful or fruitful as we would have liked. And church, as we shortly draw this month, the first month of the year, to its conclusion, could it be for some of us around here today and around this nation, even in our community of Sittingbourne, and even here, could it be that the overriding sentiments and emotion from our hearts is simply put, we've got off to a bad start? Could it be that what we hoped for this year in 2023, that it would bring into fruition something different, something unique at the start of a new year? And could it be that we were looking for things to look much brighter than they appear right now? Whether it's in your marriage or your relationships, that 2023 has been a strain so far, a challenge for you. Or maybe it's within your finances, or your health at the start of this year has brought you concerns. Or maybe it's in the area of mental health that the thoughts and the worries of this life have made you feel like you've got off to a bad start. So church, what do we do is the question. What is the remedy for a bad start? Well church, not only does Miguel Duran, the Spanish swimmer, not only does Miguel know something about a bad start, but right here in our text today, in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord's prophet and Israel, the Lord's people, they are right in the midst of a self-imposed bad start. And although Israel's history would date much further back to the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and more intimately through the ministry of Moses. But Israel had plundered. They had plundered repeatedly into a quagmire of wandering in disobedience. And through the prophetic gift of Ezekiel and his insight, the message of the Lord to Israel is simply put that the Babylonians would take you captive and drive you out of the land, and it would bring anguish and despair to those in Israel. And the once thriving and prosperous land would be driven into a hopeless wasteland. And in verse 3 of chapter 36 in the Message, Eugene Peterson puts it this way, that Israel will become emptied towns that are looted for plunder and turned into jokes by all the surrounding nations. People would laugh at the state of Israel. They would mock the state of Israel. However, although the surrounding nations would mock Israel's situation, and although people may even mock us if we've got off to a bad start, they may laugh, and yes, they may even pronounce ashes the ashes and dust the dust over our lives. But God's word in the midst of what appeared to be a hopeless situation was speaking very loud and clear that Israel, there is still hope for you. And yes, there is still hope for us today. However bad life may appear to be, however challenging the start of this year may appear to be for you, however bleak the diagnosis or the prognosis, whatever we don't have or would like to have, I'm here to encourage you today that yes, there is still hope for a bad start. Because God specializes in turning bad starts into something positive for his glory. God is not intimidated, friends, by a bad start. Whether it's bad decisions that we've made, or whether it was something beyond our control, God is able to turn our mess into a message. God is able, yes, to turn our test into a testimony. And yes, God is able to turn our trials into triumphs. So I want to encourage you today, even if you've got off to a bad start, don't give up on God. Don't give up on life because of a bad start. Because as long as we have God, we have enough to start all over again. And that's what I love about Miguel's story. He got off to a bad start. He made a full start in a swimming sense. And the rules stipulated that he should be disqualified from the race, eliminated from the proceedings. The rules mandated that he was done, he was finished, he was eliminated, disqualified from the race. And every single one of us here today, perhaps in a like manner, we were just like Miguel, but in a general life sense. Because as the Bible lets us know, that we should have been cut off because of sin, that we should have been disqualified because of sin, that we should have been separated from the presence of God because we have inherited a sinful nature from Adam and Eve. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, that each and every one of us, we have all sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. And as a result of our inheritance of sin, we should have paid the price for our sins. The penalty and the wages of our sin equaled death, separation, and termination from God. But just like Miguel in the video clip, who was eliminated at first, but the authorities, they made a decision to give Miguel a second chance. They said, we're going to give you another go at the race. We know you should have been disqualified. We know you made a false start. But we're going to give you another opportunity to compete in the race. And in like manner, church, we too have been afforded another chance through the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. As God in Jesus came into this world, he has given us another opportunity. So church, whatever the start has been for us, if we could had time, we could go around this room and pass the mic and we could share. We were involved in the places that we used to go, how we were so far away from the peace of God. But one day we met the Lord Jesus and he changed our lives. He gave us a brand new testimony. And although the start should have warranted disqualification and termination, but through the gift of God, through Jesus Christ, he has given us a great hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So yes, I believe there is hope even for a bad start. You may feel like a failure today. You may feel like I've got it wrong. I believed it was going to be different this year. But I'm here to encourage you. God is able to turn that which was broken into something beautiful. As we sung earlier today, he can take our confusion. He can take our brokenness. And he can turn it around into something beautiful. Amen. And shortly, we are going to demonstrate through the baptism of Anna that there is hope for a bad start. Because Anna's baptism is going to signify and demonstrate the plan of God and his salvation plan to save this world. That we were once buried and dead in our sins. And as Anna goes under the water in just a moment, and she is submerged and plunged into the water. Don't worry, we're going to take you up, don't worry. But as she goes down into the water, that signifies death. That signifies that the Lord Jesus was buried in a tomb. But oh no, she's not going to stay under the water. Because as she comes up, that signifies and represents the newness of life. That there is hope beyond the grave. That death has no sting for the child of God. And as she comes up out of the water, she raises to the new life that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. That we have become a new creation. Hallelujah. So I want to leave with you today just these 3 points. How can we move forward after a bad start? How can we move forward if there's things that has taken place in our lives so far this year, throughout the first 4 weeks of the year, that we're saying, oh, it's just going to be a repeat of last year. But I want to encourage you today through the word of God that just like for Israel, there is hope for a bad start. And the first thing I want to leave with you today is we have to recognize the need for divine clarity. Can we say that together? Recognize the need, yes, for divine clarity. The Lord takes Ezekiel into this vision of a valley of dry bones. And then the Lord submits a question to the prophet. Son of man, can these bones, can they live again? They appear to be dead. They appear to be hopeless. They appear to have no life in them. But Ezekiel, can these bones live again? But I love the response from Ezekiel. He says, God, you know. You're asking me the question, can they live again? I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to get into divine philosophy with you. But here's what I do know. This is your valley, and these are your bones. So you know if they can live again. I believe that's good teaching for us in our lives, because sometimes we try to figure it all out by ourselves. We try to work it out alone. We try to solve the problem and solve the impossible by ourselves. But Ezekiel teaches us the first thing we ought to do is go to God and ask him and submit to him. God, you know if these bones can live again. You may go to the doctor and they say that you only have such and such to live. That this sickness that you have, you only have such and such time left. And it may appear on paper that you only have such and such time to live. But we can take what they have told us, and yes, we believe in medical science and doctors and their profession, but as people of God, we can take the diagnosis and we can go to God and say, yes, this is what the doctors have said. But now I'm taking my problem to God. And God, you know if I'm going to die, and you know if I can live. Yes, I believe in the doctors, but I also believe that you are in control of all things, that you are sovereign over all. So Ezekiel says, these are, although it appears to be dead, yes, it appears lifeless, but you know, God, if it can live again. I believe that's good for us as we go throughout the course of this year. Instead of worrying and fretting and stressing through the problems in our lives, just simply take them to God and say, God, you know. You know how to solve this problem. You know how to get me through this challenge. I believe there's great confidence and hope in the you knows of God. He knows what's best for us. He knows the way. He knows the solution. He knows the answer. Hallelujah. So yes, on paper, the situation may appear bleak, but allow God the right to pronounce his verdict. Don't just prematurely say it's over until God says so. Trust in him. Trust in God, because he knows the answer. But number two, not only should we recognize the need for divine clarity, not just worldly clarity, but divine clarity, but secondly, we need to receive the right recovery plan. If we've got off to a bad start, we need to receive the right recovery plan. Because a lack of hope can cause us to look for temporary means of coping mechanisms. We can try to fill the space with the temporary vices in this world. But when we do that, it only leads to more frustration and more confusion. But we need to receive the right recovery plan. So after Ezekiel says, God, you know if they can live again, God now begins to paint a very lovely picture of how these dry, parched bones that appeared lifeless can come back together again. God gives Ezekiel the right plan and the remedy and the solution of how these bones can come back together again. He goes into great detail, the intricate details of how life will come back into these dead bones. And I believe with all of my heart that this year that we cannot just allow overthinking and stress to consume our minds and cause us into a state of depression when we're going through what seems to be impossible, but we must go to God and receive from Him the right recovery plan. And He will give us the right plan. He will show us the way. Step by step, we can receive the right recovery plan from God. Remember, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So we've got to be careful with trying to figure things out by our own, in our own strength. But allow God to work it out according to His plan and His purpose. But third and finally, not only should we recognize the need for divine clarity, receive the right recovery plan, but if there's going to be hope for a bad start, finally, we've got to recover the power to start again. Let's say that together. Recover the power to start again. Yes. However bad the start has been this year, through the grace of God, we always have enough through Him to stand up and to walk again. You see, the bones coming together in this great vision was a sign and a picture of Israel's future. Israel that were held captive by the Babylonians, driven out of their land. The prophets of the Lord were held captive. And even Ezekiel himself was driven out and held a prisoner. But yet still, God was revealing to the prophet that I am going to give Israel the power to stand again, to start again. That I am going to recharge and rejuvenate Israel with the power to get up and walk again. They will be restored to full spiritual health. They will have a new heart to please God. And I love this because this lets us know that however far we think we have fallen, and Israel, they fell so far away from God. But there is good news for us that however far we think we've gone, however many mistakes we think we've made in life, that through the grace of God, we have the power to start again. That's good news. That through Him, we have the power to start again. And although it may appear to be dead and lifeless, just like if you were to take the batteries out of a clock, and the clock no longer can tell the correct time, and it may appear to those who look at the clock that the clock is dead. It's no longer telling the right time. But all you have to do is not take the clock down and throw it away, but all you have to do is put some new batteries in the clock. Then you wind it, set the time, and it's good to go again. And in like manner, that whenever we fall, whenever we stray, and we come back to God through repentance, He gives us the power and new spiritual batteries to get up and to go again. To live on again. To walk again. So that we can serve Him and please Him. So the final challenge this morning, just like Israel, which would inevitably receive restoration, there is still good news and hope for us and for the entire world. However far someone may have fallen, or dire the situation may be, God can and He will turn things around for His glory and for our good. Amen. As we come to a close, I want to encourage you today. There may be one here today who say, Nathan, I've got off to a bad start. But I've heard the word of the Lord today through the prophet Ezekiel that yes, the bones may appear to be dead. Can they live again? You know God. And God says, I'm going to put the bones back together again and breathe the breath of life into them. If you're here today and you've not yet received the gift of eternal life through Christ, then today is a great day to come alive to the Spirit of God. He wants to breathe into you his breath of life. That whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happened, whatever challenges, whatever mistakes or failures, God has the power to revive, restore, and to give you a brand new start in his grace. Let's pray. Father, I pray that for anyone who is struggling to cope with the ramifications of a bad start, Lord, I pray today that they would hear your voice, that you are speaking. It's time for the bones to come back together again. It's time for new life to be breathed into those bones. Lord, I pray this morning for your people today, that they would hear your voice and receive the newness of your life, the newness of your touch, to revive, restore, replenish even that which was broken. You have the power to make it new. We thank you that whatever's happened at the start of this year, that yes, there is hope. There is hope for a bad start. So I pray that you would lift our heads now. Help us to leave victorious and knowing that you have all power and that you are sovereign. And if it be according to your will, that whatever is said on paper, that you are able to give us that new life and you are able to restore and to revive even that which was broken. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come again as we prepare for Anna's baptism. Now, in preparation for Anna's baptism, Anna has selected two lovely songs that we're going to sing. The first one is a great hymn, I Surrender All to Jesus, I Surrender. So we're going to sing that together now, and then Anna is going to come and share her testimony. Amen. Please do take your seats. Anna's going to come now and to share her testimony. Please do come, Anna.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you all. Thank you for welcoming me into your church family, including the choir and worship team. I only moved here from Southend last September, and I can honestly say it feels like I've been here for years. My knowledge and understanding of Jesus has always been limited. I was taught basics as a little girl, such as born in a manger and dying on a cross. I didn't know the significance or importance of Jesus. I grew up thinking that the Bible was just a storybook full of fairy tales. As I got older, that was still my understanding. My back was turned against Jesus. Then, by the grace of God, at a time when I was going through divorce, feeling low, unloved, worthless, and lost, He brought someone into my life that I hold dear to me as He changed my life for the better. That someone handed me a book titled, Not Just a Carpenter. I was hooked. I realized there was so much more to Jesus' story and why He died on the cross and what that meant for me. He took me to His church. There I was touched by a family. The dad had a serious operation and was in so much pain. He stood there struggling to speak with emotion, surrounded by his family, expressing his heartfelt thanks for everyone's prayers and saying how much prayer would get him through the night, as the painkillers were just not enough to ease his pain. This was so powerful to me, and I felt the strong emotion and love, not just the people in that room, but to God. I thought, wow, there is power in prayer. Praying makes a difference in someone's life. Then we started doing Bible study and praying together. He happily answered any questions I had with what I was reading by myself. Over time, knowledge and understanding in my mind has turned into love and worship in my heart. Now I enjoy reading the Psalms. They give me peace. Listening to worship songs, even while at work. And I feel the Holy Spirit within me, wanting to sing, dance, and celebrate. I'd like to highlight two Bible verses that mean something to me. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Today publicly marks my journey with God, and I repent my sins and start a new life in Jesus' name. My back is no longer turned against our Lord and Saviour. Thank you.
And Holy Spirit.
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you commit yourself to following and serving Christ in his church and in the world?
I do.
Anna, on the profession of your faith and at your own request, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. Heaven rejoices, and we rejoice along with heaven on this beautiful, beautiful day. Anna has also requested us to sing Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. So we're going to stand together and sing Jehovah Jireh. I was ready to go another round. Well, thank you all for coming and joining us today on this Sunday of worship and for baptism of Anna. And I pray that you'll leave with hope that yes, there is hope even for those bad starts. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees and for fellowship. Also, just to remind you that the joint house groups here at the church, it will be resuming this week on Wednesday. You can come either at 1:30 or at 7:30 p.m. So we'll be resuming with part four of our series of I Am a Church Member. You'll be most welcome to come. We're having a really good time together. So please do come. If you haven't been to any of the sessions so far and you think, oh, I've missed it, I can't join in, you can come. You'll be more than welcome and we'll be able to get you up to full speed. Let's go to God in prayer.
Father, we thank you so much again for this wonderful day, this day that you have made. Lord, we do pray for Anna now. We thank you for her testimony. We thank you for the work that you are doing in her life. We thank you for those that, Lord, you have joined her together with, Lord, who encourage her and walk with her in this spiritual journey. We pray you'll continue to bless and to protect and keep her, Lord. And for us all, Lord, as we prepare now to leave this place, but never from your presence, until we meet again, according to your grace, we pray, Lord, that you would keep us safe, and Lord, that you would be with us throughout the course of this week. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the glory of his presence, with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now as well as forevermore. And may all God's children let us say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
We wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.